with the end of the general dispensation from Sunday Mass attendance this weekend also comes some adjustments to our procedures inside the church with the end of all of our social distancing guidelines. So beginning this weekend, we will be passing the basket at the regular offertory time for the collection. If you have multiple envelopes, if there's a second collection envelope, you can put it all in the same basket when it passes you by at the offertory time. For Holy Communion, we're going to be moving to four stations for the distribution of Holy Communion, each of which will be at the side tables on either side of the sanctuary. So those who are in the far sections will use the far aisle to come to the table and go back via the middle aisle. Those who are in the center sections will come up the main aisle to the table and go back using the side aisles. At the end of Mass today, after the conclusion of the recessional hymn, our dismissal from church is now a free-for-all. You don't have to wait till your row is called. I would, though, please ask you to wait for the singing of the hymn, that the end of the hymn is the completion of the Mass. So thank you for that. And also thank you to everyone for your patience over the last 15 months. I know things have changed and changed again, and now they're changing it back. So thank you for your patience and the Christian charity that we're showing with each other, with me, and with our volunteers. The Book of Wisdom this morning told us that God did not make death and that he does not rejoice in the destruction of the living. Rather, we were told that God gives being. God made man to be imperishable, that we might have being. In other words, life. Jesus himself says elsewhere in the Gospels that God is not God of the dead, but of the living. And of his own mission, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So what happened? We are all too aware these days of the presence of death. We mourn the passing of 600,000 plus of our fellow Americans from the pandemic. We're also aware of death's sidekick, sickness, which plagues our human condition. And we're also very aware of the fragility of our life. We saw that just the other day in Miami. In an instant, life was lost. So if God didn't create all of this, what happened? The Book of Wisdom answers that question. It says, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world. Sickness, death, accident, tragedy, these are all consequences of original sin, the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Because of that sin, because of our humanity was taken out of right relationship with God, our bodies grow old. We're prone to sicknesses like COVID, and eventually we must all die. The culture that we live in prefers not to address this reality of life. We, of course, rightly do all we can do to preserve our health. We eat right, we go to the doctor, we exercise. Those are all good things. But the culture then takes it to an extreme and values youth and the preservation of life so that it encourages us to look at our body as something that we can manipulate. Plastic surgery, Botox, reassignment surgeries, all of these things that mutilate our bodies. And then ultimately, when death comes, we prefer not to deal with it, not to talk about it. And we try to kind of sweep it off to the side and be done with it as soon as we can. But our faith gives us a much better way to deal with this reality of the human condition. In the gospel reading today, the gospel reading was all about the reality of humanity. the synagogue official's daughter who died, the woman who was suffering from sickness for 12 years. All of these Jesus restores to health. And these healings of Jesus in the gospel all have a much deeper meaning. They're signs. They're signs of something greater. And when Jesus heals physically, it's a sign of how he is going to heal spiritually. The healing of the physical body in the gospel looks forward to the healing of our spiritual life by the death of Jesus on the cross. His death on the cross defeats the envy of Satan and restores us to friendship with God. By dying on the cross, Jesus destroys death and he brings the abundant life that he promises. He defeats the devil by the very thing that the devil brought us, death. So this healing of the physical body we hear in the gospel reminds us that Jesus has healed us spiritually. So what does this mean? What does this mean for us? Well, the first thing I'd like us to remember is a very common phrase from the Bible. Be not afraid. And its counter, do not fear. It's the most common phrase found throughout the Bible. The devil will rage. We will have to carry our crosses. But we have nothing to fear because Jesus is already victorious. The pandemic brought a lot of fear into all of our lives. The fear of the unknown. But it should not have taken away our trust in God. It should not have been able to steal that away from us. Some people are still afraid to interact with the world. Maybe you're a little nervous about coming back to church if today's the first day you've been back in a while. That fear can be a very powerful force. But it can't steal our trust that God will not leave us, that we should not be afraid. This past Tuesday, the church celebrated the feast day of St. Thomas More. Thomas More lived during the English Reformation with King Henry VIII. Thomas opposed Henry's divorce and remarriage, and for that, Henry put him in the Tower of London and eventually executed him. And as he was sitting in his cell in the Tower of London awaiting his execution, Thomas More wrote to his daughter. He said the following. He said, "Nothing can come but what God wills. And I am very sure that whatever that be, however bad it may seem, it shall indeed be the best." Thomas was not afraid of whatever the world or Henry was going to throw at him. And so we should not be either. Second thing God's holy word is saying to us today is that God desires us to live an abundant life. The second reading today from the second letter to the Corinthians, Paul says that for you know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. We are rich. Have you ever thought of yourself as being rich? You are rich because for you God became man and died on the cross so that you can have an abundant life. We are rich and nothing can steal that from us. And the last thing God's word is speaking to us this weekend is that that abundant life that God wants to give to you now, he wants it for this life. Yes, he will perfect it in heaven forever, of course. But God wants you to live an abundant life right now. He wants you to live a life active in his holy church. He wants you to live a life of grace, free from sin. He wants you to be back in the church. He wants you to make worship of him a regular habit as part of your spiritual life and the life of your family. And if you already have the habit of coming to Mass, he wants you to go deeper. Go deeper in your faith. Go deeper in the parish community. And God is calling each and every one of us to be ambassadors of this abundant life, to make the good news known to all you meet, friends, family, co-workers. God wants us all to live an abundant life in this life and forever in heaven. My friends, the woman with the hemorrhage was healed, but she certainly came down with other sicknesses in her life. The synagogue official's daughter was raised from the dead, but she eventually died again. The officials and the family members who were overjoyed at the girl's return to life were saddened eventually. But the healing that comes from the cross of Jesus, into which we are all incorporated by our baptism, that takes away our fears. That gives us abundant life, an abundant life in this life and forever with God in heaven.